Well, I want to be one of those men. Sounds like you do too. I can't say how thankful I am for men that love the Lord, even when they're older. I want to thank all you older men, older than me, that have not lost the zeal for God. Thank you. I can appreciate young men, I do, that are zealous, but there's something about an older man that is still faithful and zealous. And the song put it very well. Faithful man. Well, I feel like we got a lot of things to think about and help us to be faithful. Things we heard this week. What do you think? The call went out. The encouragement went out very clear. It's a good song for us to hear before the message here. Faithful men. What a joy. What a joy to be here. It feels like an understatement to say that it was a good week. It was very good. Very, very, very good. So thank you for all those that labored and preach the word to us. I hope that we have recaptured the vision again. I don't know if Brother Dale was in here or not, but he mentioned about those sisters falling on their faces there at those meetings at charity. Well, I'm not sure if I was there for that meeting, but I do remember some of those times when those things happened, and that was a blessing. When God was there so strong, and just the fact that the front benches were full is a good sign, isn't it? Amen. Things were happening, and when God's Spirit is moving, people tend to want to be up front, don't they? Right. We have a little different problem these days. The back gets full. That's sad. Right. We need to recapture this vision again. And I know it starts in the heart. I really know it does. It starts in the heart. You need to want to be there, but it also is when God is there, it seems people press in. So that's the challenge to us, leaders and brothers, that when we come together, we are those that fan the flame and not make it out. Not suck the life out of the preacher, but encourage him, pray for him. Pray for the services that the Lord would visit us again. Well, let's bow our heads for prayer. Father God, we thank you for this week of meetings and rich teaching. God, we come before you with thanksgiving. We love you, Lord. We adore you, God. You are the best thing we found in life, Lord. You are the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. Lord, you give us reason to live and to get up in the morning and to fall on our knees before you, God. Help me to do that more faithfully, Lord. I've been encouraged. I've been challenged, Lord. Oh, God. Lord, I confess my need of you today here. What an opportunity, Lord, we have to preach the word. Help me, oh God, to preach your word, Lord. Lord, I remind myself, Lord, I want to be approved of you when this message is over, Lord. Yes, I care what these brothers think, and I confess I'm a bit intimidated, Lord, but I confess my desire, Lord, to speak what you want me to speak, Lord, and to be approved of God. Help me, Lord, to just be a vessel today, dear God. Stand in this empty boat, Lord, and preach to us, dear God. Turn this water into wine, Lord. You've got to, Lord. You've got to do that, God, for thy glory and for thy name's sake, God. We thank you that you want to do that, Lord. Where two or more are gathered in your name, there you are in the midst of them, God, I confess. We thank you for that, Lord. We just ask for you to bless us with yet another inspiration from you, Lord. Makes all the difference, God. We can have words on paper and we can have points and notes, God, but we need you, dear God, to give the unction from above, Lord. Both in giving and receiving, Lord. Come, Lord. Be here. We need you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the assignment that was given to me, take heed how ye build, is found in 1 Corinthians 3, the text we will be using today. You can turn there. 1 Corinthians 3. And I've chosen verses 10 through 15. Let's go ahead and read that at this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 15. Paul is saying to the Corinthians, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. There's the title. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. It took me a little time to get under the burden of this passage. It probably wouldn't have been one that I would have chosen, but I'm glad I was given it. I was sobered by this scripture and challenged a lot as I took time to ponder it and pray over it and allow the reality of these words to fall upon my heart. And considered the importance of building well. Brothers, we only get one chance in life. And we need to build well. Because trials do come upon us now already and are yet more to come. That are going to try our building material with what we have built with. One thing that is clear to me in this scripture here that is we as Christian brothers here today have a choice how we're going to build on this foundation. The foundation has been given to us. The foundation has been laid. There's no other foundation for the Christian. The foundation is Jesus Christ. You know that. And if you're a born again Christian, you have been given that foundation. And the message of this text here is, from there, it looks to me like a lot remains up to us after that.
what we're going to do with this lively foundation that you and I are standing upon, are set upon, are have got our feet upon, this solid foundation. It appears to me that what we're going to do with that foundation, how we're going to build on that foundation, is my and your responsibility. What kind of building materials we will use to build up our spiritual house. Paul told Timothy that he should study. He should study to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Paul told Timothy, you have a responsibility to take the word of God and study it and apply it to your own life, first of all, and thereby save your own self, as he said in another place, and those that hear you. You make the application. You make the connection. You get the building material. You get the gold, silver, and precious stones. And you build a building that will stand. He told Timothy, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Building material. Doctrine. It's not such a popular word these days. Teachings and commandments of Christ. Take heed to thyself and unto the doctrine. The doctrine. That is how it's worded in our Bibles. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. The teachings of Jesus. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Not just because you're on the foundation, not just because you have Jesus as your Savior, not just because you can name the name of Christ as many do and teach these days, but it's what you do with the teachings of Jesus that make the difference in our spiritual house. I like this verse a lot. It's a tremendous challenge to me. By faith, Noah, being warned of God, as you and I were this week, about many things. Amen? Many things. We were warned and taught, and God put His finger on things in our lives and said, I want you to deal with that. And you and I said, yes, we will. I want to too. Noah, being warned of God. Brothers and sisters, this is an opportunity this week that we have as brothers. God speaking to us. And I know we know that. But I know we're also forgetful. And I want to yet once again remind us that we have been warned and taught and encouraged by the Word of God of things not seen as yet. Noah, he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. That's what really matters in the end. If our house is going to stand. By which he condemned the world. And I thought about that phrase for a while. I don't think Noah went around and poked fun at the other people and said, ha, you know, look what I did. See all this. It was just the fact that his works withstood the judgment of God while all the others failed. By that he condemned the world. A silent message. Brother, will you and I, as we build our lives, our homes, our marriages up with gold, silver, and precious stone, will they stand as an ensign when judgment, when trials come our way, and say, it works. It works. Will they be there? And he became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. This is not only sobering today, but it is also very encouraging. God gave Noah very detailed directions how to build that boat. and gnaw very carefully with fear, made sure he built it just according to the blueprint. And that's encouraging to me today. God is not asking us to do something that can't be done. It may be hard. It may be difficult at times. It is. But that old boat, when the waters started rising and it lifted up off the props, it floated. Praise God. It floated. It withstood the trial. It withstood the test. Will your boat float? It's encouraging because God, according to Peter, we know this verse, according as His divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. We'll probably look at that verse a little more later, but we can't blame God today if our works burn up. We can't blame God if we find out too late that we were building with wood, hay, and stubble. Can't blame God. God has given us all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness. All things we need. And I would suggest that a meeting like this is one of those things. The Scripture. Brothers fellowshipping together, encouraging one another. Things like we heard this morning. Accountability. All these things God has given us that pertain to life and godliness. And we won't be able to say, I didn't know how to build. We're talking about building today. Take heed how ye build. I don't know how many builders are here today, or architects or contractors, people that have to do with construction, but we're talking about building. And you and I know if you've been responsible for a building, and if it doesn't turn out right, or worse yet, before it's all done, if it blows down, or if we didn't have it braced right under construction, and we find out that we didn't brace it enough. That's never a good feeling for the foreman. Never a good feeling. Maybe in some cases it can be helped if the storm is bad enough, but particularly, I was thinking of the case in the Bible where the man began to build and found out he didn't have enough money to finish it. That's another scenario there. We're talking about building. We're talking about building in such a way that stands the test of God, or the tests that come into our lives. And by way of illustration, I'd like to share a story. And maybe use this to illustrate what we're talking about today, and maybe cause us to think a little bit how we're building. Back in 2010, on January the 12th, at 4:53 p.m., the country of Haiti was hit with a 7.0 magnitude earthquake. All of us know about that. Killing, at least, there's very conflicting numbers of how many people died in that earthquake, but somewhere between 100,000 to 300,000 people lost their lives. So I just put 200,000 people lost their lives in that earthquake. That earthquake destroyed an estimated 250,000 residences and 30,000 commercial buildings. Now, I know, brothers, it's hard. I know that a 7.0 magnitude earthquake is not an easy thing to overcome. We know that. That was a major earthquake. My son Michael was there and experienced it. He was about 12 miles
southwest of the Epic Center, and things did shake there very much. So I know it's not an easy thing to overcome. It was major. However, it didn't take people long to see that this catastrophic tragedy was much, much worse because of the poor to no building code in Haiti. Much, much worse. Their little houses stuck on the side of a hill, dangerous building sites to begin with, was not a good idea, especially for an earthquake. They tended to skimp on reinforcement rods, and they skimp on cement, making it inferior and not as strong as it should be, especially when an earthquake comes along. Now, I know they're poor, and I know they couldn't afford, in many of those cases, to do it better. And I know the only place some of those people have to build a house on is on a side of a hill that you can't believe anyone would live on. But they do. But let's just go back and think of some scenarios that are very likely in that earthquake. Let's think of a man 10 years before the earthquake. He was a wise young man, and he as they do down there, it takes them sometimes a year or two to build their house, so they build as they get money. But he decided to do it right. He decided to save up a little more money and put the extra reinforcement in that he needed. And he decided not to skimp on the cement and make it as strong as it should be. And he got that house done. And he had himself a little family of maybe two or three children 10 years later, maybe four or five. And on January the 12th, 2010, that man was at work. And that evening when that building started shaking that he was working in, let's say he made it out of that building, as many did, by the skin of their teeth in some cases. And I'm sure as any concerned father, the biggest thing on his mind was his family, right? And I can just see him racing home as fast as he could. And perhaps on the way home yet, a tremor came along. 4.5 tremor that he had to stop running and make sure no wall falls on him along the way as they did in those tremors. And he's getting closer to home and he's wondering, is my family okay? And he's going along the road, he sees legs sticking out of collapsed buildings. He hears screams. He sees 4 or 5 story buildings collapse, if he can, in the midst of the dust, as it was there. But he's making his way down the streets to get to his house to see if his family is okay. And he rounds the bend. And he sees his house. And it's standing. It's standing. Let's think about his neighbor, John, that didn't take the extra measures. He also built a house. He skimped on the reinforcement rods. He skimped on the cement. He was just next door to the first guy. He also ran home. He also rounded the corner, not knowing what he's going to see. There, his house was flat. That happened. That happened. I'm sure it did. Many men came home to their wife or child crushed under their little house. How sad to see your wife's hand sticking out the door, trying to escape, but couldn't. His house didn't stand. His work wasn't sufficient. It was inferior. He hadn't built strong enough. (Clears throat) Michael said, my son Michael, when he was back there, when that earthquake hit, for those of you that were ever at ILAG, up between those mountains, it just works like a natural amphitheater, and you can hear people talk on the other side of the hill, you know, half a mile away. It just echoes back and forth. He said when that shaking started and the rocks started sliding off those hills, it was so loud in that place. And after that quieted down a little bit, you could hear the people start crying, cries of people. You could hear people crying for loved ones that were hurt or trapped or whatever. And it wasn't long till the people started flooding in to the clinic with their wounded. While they were still trying to come to grips with everything that happened there. He said it's pretty unsettling to go through an earthquake. But anyway, back to our text here. If any man's work which he hath built thereupon abide, he shall receive a reward. Not only that your family or your soul will be intact, but rewards from God, the blessing of God. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Brothers, the Haitians did not know that at 4:53 that afternoon, there would be a violent shaking. Imagine what was going on underneath there at 4 o'clock. The pressure building up on those rock plates. 4:30, imagine 200,000 souls are going to lose their lives in a few minutes. And then it left loose. Only 8 miles down. It sends such a shockwave up through there, and hence the evidence. We do. We know what's coming, don't we? We know what awaits us. We know what's at the end of the road. We know the scriptures. We know the warning here, take heed. We hear it today. We know it. We know the impending shaking that is coming in the end, whose voice then shook the earth, but now hath he promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Beautiful word. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. That means to please God well. With reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Brothers, we know that our work will be tried. We know that the building material that we will be using, according to this scripture, will be put to the fire. We know it is already. We know it is already. You know, when we start out in life, maybe in marriage, and we think we know a lot. We're gonna do it right. We're going to raise these children right, and we're going to get it right. And those are good aspirations. And many of us have done well. But God does shake things every now and then along the way. He shakes our theology. He shakes our motives. He shakes our fruit. And He allows us to see what we're building with. And I haven't always done so well. But I'm thankful for this message. I'm thankful for these words. I'm challenged. I want my boat to float. Brothers, It's one thing to have your boys help build the boat. I think it's another thing to have them come along inside. Some of us haven't done so good in that. Help us, Lord. How can we have them come inside? Stay inside. Follow Dad's example. Follow Dad's convictions. Follow Dad's concerns. Oh God, help us. We need the grace of God for this. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. Beloved brethren, we're building a spiritual building personally. And as fathers here, we're building a building for our family. So let's just go down through here. We'll draw out a few points out of our text here. We want to do it right. We need to do it right. We got to get right building material to stand the test of time. And I think the first thing we see here that Paul makes very clear is we got to have Jesus as a foundation. It for sure won't stand if it's not Jesus. But I trust all of us have that here today. I trust I'm preaching to brothers that are standing on Jesus. And the challenge is not to that so much as it is the points coming on later. What we are building with. I think this building project here is a little different than the wise and the foolish man building project. That man, the foolish man, wasn't even on Jesus. He was on the sand. Okay? And maybe that's why this man gets through with the skin of his teeth. His building collapsed. He has nothing to show for his life, but his soul is saved, yet so as by fire. Because he stood on Jesus at one time. And I'm not saying that we should ever think these thoughts. You know, as long as I get in by the skin of my teeth, I'll be happy. That's not for the Christian. I think if we adopt that mentality, we're going to lose it. We need to press in. We need to hold our building material up to the fire and say, is this going to stand? Yes, we cannot. We dare not have that mentality. To think, well, as long as I get through with the skin of my teeth. No. That may happen. But we should never plan on it. But that's as good as it can be for us. There's better things for the Christian. Amen. There's better things. We've been given many building materials here. So, be challenged today. Don't take the lazy way. Say, oh well, I have Jesus. I'll make it in. Mm-mm. Be challenged by these things. Be sobered. I'm sure you are. So the first point is, Jesus got to be the foundation or our house will come to utter ruin. Number two is according to the grace of God. As Paul said here, verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, I am a wise master builder. Brothers, we need the grace of God. I ask you, brothers, is the grace of God flowing? We've heard that already this week. Are you in tune with God that the grace of God is flowing? If the grace of God is flowing, we can build according to the will of God. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably. We are co-laborers together with God. If it's all law in your life, I wonder if your building is going to stand. You need the grace of God. The grace of God. The power of God to do the will of God. That's what you need. According to the grace of God. I like the grace of God. There's an account in Acts, I didn't look it up, but When the apostles came around, they saw the grace of God. How do you see the grace of God? It's something you can see. That's beautiful. It's not just all fluff and puff. It's something you can see. It's got substance. It's changed lives. Amen. It's building material that is solid. That's the grace of God. I ask you, are you finding the grace of God in your life? Are there things in your life that you need to deal with? Find the grace of God and build your life up with the grace of God. Oh, brothers. Number three, we need to follow the blueprint. He says here in verse 10, I have laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. I couldn't think of a better blueprint than the Lord Jesus Christ, for one. Are you building on Jesus? He said, as concerning following the blueprint, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Well, that's a good piece, a good golden 2x4 to put in your structure. It's to go out every now and then and witness for God. Seek souls. Become a fisher of men. That kind of puts things in perspective if we do that every now and then. We work with wooden 2x4s. Let's make a golden 2x4 and go out and seek to become fisher of men. You will do that if you follow the Lord Jesus. Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. So if that is a little weak in your life, pray about that. God, I'm on the earth for a reason. And that will give you a building block that is strong. If you begin to become a fisher of men. I need that. How about this one? If any man come after me, let him deny himself. Is that some good building material? Learning to deny yourself? Yes, it is. That works in your own life. It works in your home. It works in the church. That is a good, solid, golden building block. Amen. Denying yourself. Show me a man that has learned to deny himself. And he's a solid man. Especially if it comes to the tongue. If he deals with that tongue of his, he's got a good grip on the whole body. Right. James says. And Jesus didn't say there. He gives us another building block. Take up your cross. Let him deny himself and take up your cross and follow me. This has meaning, brothers. This has meaning. If we do that, we'll have good results. We'll have fruit for our labors. We'll have a building that will stand. There's more. Jesus said, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast. And give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come and follow me. When was the last time you did that? Sold that extra piece of whatever. And just gave it to the kingdom of God. You know, I don't need this anymore. I'm going to sell this and give it to the church. You know, it affects more areas in our lives when we do that than we might think. It adjusts our perspective. Brethren, take heed how you build. God provides so much building material. Brothers, this is clearly talking here about works. Works. Every man's work shall be made manifest. This is talking about works. Work salvation. Works fire insurance. Every man's work shall be made manifest. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Just going to skip right down to it there. You know this passage here in Matthew 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Brothers, I know which side I want to be on. Amen. But here comes the test. Here comes the acid test. He shall set the sheep on His right hand, the goats on His left. Then shall the King say unto them on the right hand, Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was an hungered and ye gave Me meat, works. I was thirsty and ye gave Me drink. I was a stranger and ye took Me in. Naked and ye clothed Me. I was sick and ye visited Me. I was in prison and ye came unto Me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee a hungered or and fed Thee, or thirsty and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger and took Thee in, or naked and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick or in prison and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, For I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Look, it was the test that decided which side they're going to sit on. Then shall He say unto them on the left hand, Depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave Me no drink. I was a stranger and ye took Me not in, naked and ye clothed Me not, sick and in prison and ye visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee an hungered or a thirst or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister unto Thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to Me. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Oh, brothers, it's building material to get involved in things like this. It's gold, silver, precious stones. It's works that will stand the test. You can turn over to Romans 2, if you will. Romans 2. Quickly. Take heed how you build. Romans 2, verse 1. Well, let's jump down to verse 3. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judges them which do such things and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Talking about hypocrisy, if you will, there. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, and knoweth not the goodness of God that leadeth to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds, not to his profession, but to his deeds. Right. Works. Brothers, it makes a difference. We need to be building with gold, silver, and precious stones. Works. I'd like to read something here from D.L. Moody, if you would allow me. On this matter, he says, Now death may rob us of money. Death may rob us of position. Death may rob us of our friends. But there is one thing death can never do, and that is rob us of the work we do for God.
that will live on forever. Their works will follow them, Revelation says. Their works will follow them. How much are we doing? Anything we do outside of ourselves. Did you get that? Anything we do outside of ourselves. And not with mean and selfish motives, that is going to live. Remember, God remembers a cup of cold water given in the name of the Lord. Anything we do outside ourselves and not with a mean and selfish motive, that is going to live. We have the privilege of setting into motion streams of activity that will follow on when we are dead and gone. He goes on to say, if a man lives a mean and selfish life here, he goes down into the grave, and his name and everything goes down in the grave with him. If he is ambitious to leave a record behind him with a selfish motive, his name rots with his body. Now, I have heard this, and a long time ago I looked into it, and I think it's true. All of us in here know Hudson Taylor. How many of you know his brother? It is said that his brother decided to set out to make for himself a great name. He was an ungodly man. And I looked it up, like I said, a long time ago in the encyclopedia. And if you find his name, you know what it says? He was the brother of Hudson Taylor. If a man just gets outside of himself and begins to work for God, his name will live forever. Moody says, you may go to Scotland today and you will find the influence of John Knox over every mountain in Scotland. It seems as if you could almost feel the breath of that man's prayer in Scotland today. His influence still lives. Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord. They rest from their labors and their works do follow them. Blessed rest is in store. We will rest by and by, but we don't want to talk about rest down here. That comes later, brothers. We'll just work. We'll keep on working. God bless every one of you older brothers. Like I said in the beginning, keep up the zeal till you drop. God bless every one of you. And I want to be one of those men when I get old. I don't think I'm that old yet. Oh, amen. Working for the Lord. Let's just do a little Bible study here, a quick walk through a number of scriptures. So go to 1 Corinthians 15:58 with me. I think we were in this passage already this week. And just look at this matter of working for the Lord. And I know we don't go around, this should simply be just an outflow of the inflow is what it should be. That's what it should be. It won't come out right if we go and tally up our good deeds. It should be an outflow of the inflow. But I think sometimes it takes a conscious effort. It at least does for me. And I can get so wrapped up in the things of this life. And sometimes I need to go work for God on purpose and do things that are right on purpose. But in 1 Corinthians 15:58, we have these words, 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. What is the work of the Lord? One of the brothers taught on that this week. The work of the Lord is to believe God, to have faith in God. I think Jesus taught that. This is the work, to believe. It's one of the good, solid building blocks. Be faithful. Believe. Because here it says, we should be abounding. We should be going further in the work than we were last year this time. We should be going further. Are we going further? Are we further than we were last year? One thing comes to my mind that Brother Joe said this morning that I'd like to go back to and make a comment on. And he I believe it was yesterday, or no, it must have been the day before, because I wasn't in yesterday, I don't think. But he said, if you want to remember something you hear this week, you know what he said? Make a commitment. Make application. Make a commitment. And I believe that. And one of the ways I thought you could do that, I could do that and plan to do that, is to go to a brother. Maybe you have a church brother that sits next to you here and say, God spoke to me in this area. I want you to keep me accountable in that. Right away, before you even get down the road very far. Make that commitment. Accountability is such an important thing. We're leaky vessels. We'll forget. We have good intentions. But God forbid that we wouldn't have abounded a little bit by next year and further along. We laughed this morning. We thought it was funny, and I did too. You know, the man that was having a hard time with his wife. You know, they were kind of talking there, and the preacher knocked on the door. Remember that illustration that Joe gave? And we chuckled about that. In fact, we laughed maybe a little more than what I was comfortable with. Things are really serious. They're really serious. A little more laughing than I was comfortable with, I think. Because for this reason, I have a classmate. I had a man that was in my class. I'll just say it the way I know to say it. Years ago. That him and I parted ways and both found the Lord. Some of you might know this man. Somewhere in his life, before he found the Lord, this is what brought him to the Lord in the first place. He had a back injury, seriously hurt his back, and came to the place where he couldn't hardly walk anymore. And that brought him to his knees. Eventually, cried out to God behind his barn, got gloriously saved on his own. His affliction continued. He was bedfast for a number of years, but he was just overflowing with joy. Just a joy man to be around. People would go to visit him and see him and encourage him, and they always came home encouraged to be with this young man, with this man. Well, it's God in his providence saw fit to heal that man. He was able to walk again. He was ordained to the ministry. He was a preacher, a good preacher. I heard some of his messages. And somewhere he should have had a preacher knock on his door. He didn't. And that's what made me very sober right away when I thought of that account. If only he would have had a preacher knock on his door at the right time. This dear brother, his picture showed up in the newspaper, and it wasn't a nice newspaper. It was beside two prostitutes that he got caught. And his face said, I could not believe it. Brethren, it's nothing to laugh about. That knock on the door, that accountability, we must make it work. We don't need one more soldier's picture in the paper beside prostitutes. So that made me very sad, very sober. Made me sober. I don't mind a little bit of chuckling, and you know, I can get into that very easy. I'm not blaming or faulting anyone, but as I thought about that, I thought it might be good to just bring some sobriety to that reality and make sure that we do it. I need it. I sat there. I need that. I need that accountability. I do.
And I plan on doing it. Abounding in the work of the Lord. Go to 2 Corinthians 9. Verse 8. Verse 7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God wants us to build and build well. Philippians 2. Verse 12. Wherefore, beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You believe in work salvation? I kind of do. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You got to be on Jesus, but you got to have works that follow. And they got to be of gold, silver, and precious stone, or they're going to go up in smoke. Right. 2 Timothy 4. Verse 5. There's some preachers here. There's some evangelists here. Sometimes we get weak and we say no to the call that comes in. I've done that. But Paul tells Timothy, watch thou in all things. Verse 5, chapter 4. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. Hebrews 13, verse 21. Verse 20. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Oh, brothers, may we work and build with good building material. Okay, going back to our text in 1 Corinthians 3. Two more points here and we're done. Point number 5 is seize the opportunity. We don't know when for sure. Our life work is over. We must seize the opportunity. Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Don't wait till the ground starts shaking to get busy for the Lord. That's too late. It's too late to do a building material inspection then. How are we doing, brethren? Don't wait till the floods start coming upon you to start building the ark. Now is the day of salvation. Now we have gospel power. Now we have God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, brothers, turn with me to Matthew 20. Are we seizing the opportunity? We're here. We've been here. For many of us, this is not our first leadership seminar or kingdom discipleship, whatever you call it. And in Matthew 20, we have this parable of the man that went out to look for workers.
And he comes out at these different times of the day looking for workers. And he asks it a few times, "Why stand ye here idle?" Brothers, are we standing idle? Are we seizing the opportunity? Are we having real personal devotions? Are we connecting with the Lord? Are we tapping into the grace of God like we heard? Are we having family devotions? Are we ministering to our wives the Word of God, as Paul tells the Ephesians? Are we doing that? That is what we should be doing now. That is building with good building material. Why stand ye here idle? I don't know how. You know, I can't do it. I don't know how to have family devotions. You know, and on the excuses go. But can you hear Jesus calling out to you? It's the 11th hour in verse 6. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, "Why stand ye here idle all day?" Brethren, you have been given, and I have been given, many good, solid building blocks this week. The question is, will we get busy with them? Will we begin to make application? We don't know. It could be the 11th hour for our opportunity. And I say that just to encourage us. Prayer meetings. They wax and wane. What condition are they at in your church? Are they waxing? Not only in sound, as we heard this morning, but in quality. Amen. Are they waxing that way? Tears, brokenness, confessions. Oh, that's building with gold, silver, and precious stones. All that selfishness, that's wood, hay, and stubble. Look what I have done. Look what I have accomplished. It'll go up in smoke in a moment. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Brothers, we will be forever grateful when the shaking and the testings and the trials come, and we run to see and our works stand. Will your works, will my works stand? I have work to do at home, brethren. I have work to do at home. That's a confession. I do. I'm encouraged, but I'm also sober with what God did here this week. Will my labor stand the judgment of God? Will my house stand? Well, I'd like to give us a key yet in closing here to make this whole thing work. Because I've been in meetings like this before, and you have too, where we've made some pretty strong resolutions and tried to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps one more time. We may need some of that, some effort, like I said, to put in some real effort, some just plain old decision. I got to do this. But we need to have also something before that, something else before that, and that is we need to have that meat that others don't know anything about. We need to hear from God. Jesus said he had meat to eat
that his disciples didn't know of. It was that connection with God. And that thing that really gave him the energy that natural food would do was to do the will of his Father. And you and I won't get to that place until we come to know the Father in a loving relationship. That's so very important. I'd like to say that as I finish up here. You cultivate a meaningful relationship with God and you get busy working. I believe our buildings will stand. Our works will follow us. We'll be blessed throughout eternity with perhaps hundreds and thousands of rewards that we had no idea. We could say, Lord, when did we do these things? And it was simply based in the fact that we love to do our Father's will. Hallelujah. We learn to love to do our Father's will. We learn, perhaps some of us by mistake, that, or the hard way, that that is, after all, the best way to live. Amen. To learn to love to do the Father's will. He has our good in mind. And we resist that and we figure out better ways and this is interfering with my plan and God has to take us back around again. We have to, if we don't learn it the first time, He'll take us down that road again. Yes. Learn to yield yourself and learn to love to do the Father's will. It will be a strength to you and me. I believe that. Amen. Well, God bless you, brothers. It's been a joy. God bless His word and God bless you. I'll leave you with that.